Over here on the left, it is. We've got Anthony and Brian of the Blue Man Group. Welcome to K-Hum, guys.
Thanks.
You are living a very weird life. Let's just start right there. Brian, you have been a blue man. There are three on the stage.
Three on stage at all times.
Three on stage. And then Anthony, you're in the band. You play drums.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess the things we could just make a list of things that the Blue Man Group is. It's kind of a science fair. Kind of a Jackson Pollock thing.
Yep.
It's kind of a drum circle. Like, what do you guys see it as? Like, you must be forced to explain this to people in elevators. Like, how do you pitch it to them?
Before the record was turned off, it's like a disco party with the dance moves and the liner notes, I think. That's probably... We've got that going on a little bit towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
Discopedia.
Actually, the band's got... We've got rehearsed choreographed moves that we do at the end of the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
How big is the touring production?
It's a pretty big... I guess as far as spectacle-wise, we've got a whole back video wall and just lights galore.
Yeah, LED screens... For days.
Yeah, it's pretty intense as far as the what you're going to experience, what you see, what happens up there.
It just seems like I'm not one to take Molly, necessarily. And it seems like Blue Man Group is going to give me that experience a little bit.
Yeah, you don't need that for the show, for sure, because that's what the show is. It's definitely like a ride.
It's definitely a ride.
It's a ride. It's a roller coaster.
So there are a bunch of Blue Man shows around the country, but the touring show is a particular challenge because you can't build a waterfall every night. You know what I mean? Anthony, what do you guys build it every day and then tear it down?
Well,
every night?
I don't particularly build anything. That's the crew. We travel with 24 people, which includes the 8 cast members and then 16 other people that make the show go around, and then including the local crews. But the show is six tractor trailers worth of stuff. So they load in. It takes some hours to load that show in. But like Brian was saying, LED walls, two band lofts, all the equipment, all the props that go into the show. And yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a huge deal. It's an enormous deal. So you said eight. There are 8 people on stage. There are 3 blue men at all times. Do you guys rotate blue men in and out?
We do. We have 4 blue men on tour with us, and so one guy will have the night off. He'll be hanging out at the local watering hole, and then the waiting for a call if someone gets hurt in sound check or something like that. But then the 4 band members are on stage with us. So there's 7 in the cast during a show. And the band is kind of rocking behind the Blue Man the whole show. They're the soundtrack, the spiritual energy of the Blue Man, because the Blue Man can't speak, so he's got to communicate somehow, and usually it's through the music.
When Brian, when they gave you the job of being one of the Blue Men, did you come to it from being in the band?
Well, I did come to Blue Man through being a musician more so than an actor, but really. Yeah, I actually connect more with the band side of things than anything with the show. That's kind of how I base all my movements, and I listen to a lot of ambient music and pretty much kind of worship the music side of life, of art.
How ambient is the stuff you listen to?
If the most mainstream and not well-known is Sigur Rós. I love Sigur Rós, especially their earlier stuff. The newer stuff is getting a little out there for me, but...
Is it out there? I thought their newer stuff is more restrained, if anything.
I guess out of my want to listen to.
Yeah, it's no Discopedia.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask about the people who are not on stage. Anthony, like, you are in the back. You're wearing all black. You're playing drums.
We are... When we play, we light up... the lofts are lit up with... We're about, I don't know, 10 or 12 feet off the ground. But we're right in the back of the stage, and we wear UV outfits, and we paint our faces with UV paint. So when the black lights light up, we're extremely visible. So we're in the background. But like Brian said, I mean, I don't mind at all not being up in front, because I love being back there and playing the music for the show, for the audience, and for these guys to enhance the aesthetic and the sound of the show.
You've got the best view, for sure, in the house.
Yeah.
Getting to see the show happen and the audience react to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's not like, I don't know what you which we visited at, but like we're not in all black. It's not like a pit band for a normal show.
Yeah, I didn't pitch that right.
And no offense by that at all. But yeah, so and there's no conductor, so it's basically the drum kit player's job to kind of conduct everything, watch the movements of the Blue Men on the stage, watch them when they, well, not to give too much away, when they leave the stage sometimes, and kind of coordinate the rest of the musicians with what's happening with the Blue Men.
And you guys are characters up there too, like the way the band moves during the way they play things, it's very much like we move, and they emote what's happening in the story with kind of how they react, they encounter the story along with the audience, so it's kind of this whole immersive thing.
Yeah. Now, the Blue Men of the Blue Man group, they are standardized in certain ways and sort of an enigmatic character. I mean, by the way, this is a character show. It's not just like, oh, I got face paint on. When you got the job as a Blue Man, what kind of direction were you given? Because their facial expressions, they're expressive, but it's also very limited.
Yeah.
Did they say you were allowed to smile 20% smile max? You are allowed to look surprised, but only if you cock your head to the side. Like, how do they tell you to do the physical gesticulations?
It's kind of, it's less directed than it is. They basically just say, don't smile. The character doesn't, like, smile or show emotion a way a human would, and that's kind of what makes us other. It's very much like a mask. Like, you're wearing we're not wearing a mask. We're just wearing paint on our face, but you are kind of a representation of all the emotion that's happening internally. So basically, the main direction for the Blue Man is to encounter people in a genuine way and experience the encounter and internalize that encounter. And with the makeup that we wear and the way that it kind of lets the eyes pop and the emotion in the eyes pop, there's really that encounter can be felt by the person that you're having it with, you know. And so you're not really putting on the emotion that you're feeling. You're kind of genuinely experiencing it, and then that person can tell, and that audience can tell.
If you're just tuning in, we've got Anthony and Brian from the Blue Man Group. They're playing the Van Duzer tonight. You can get tickets and information over at our site, which is khum.com. Anthony, you've been in the Blue Man Group for 4 years. Brian, 6.5. How do you? I mean, Blue Man Group is holding auditions right now. Like, what are the characteristics for a cast member in the Blue Man Group?
Well, to be a Blue Man, there's a height requirement and a, you know, physical
requirement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so already Blue Man Group is beefing with short Americans.
No, absolutely. You can be in the band. It doesn't matter how tall you are. You can be
exactly.
be in the band.
What's the height window?
I think it's 5'10" to 6'2".
Yeah, I think
so. Right. As a tall American, a deeply oppressed group, I cannot be a Blue Man.
You could work it out. If you were doing well in every other part of the audition, I think they would.
I'm 6'4". That's 2 inches. It'd be tough.
Pushing it.
You'd be good for the tour.
Pushing it. Okay, so the size requirements. All right, what else?
I think in the audition for the Blue Man, I mean, it's probably different for the band for sure, but there's definitely an element of, there's less requirement for the drumming and technical skill as there is for how well do you work with people, how well do you listen to someone, you know, give you a note and say, how, now try this, and then completely incorporate that note right away. So it's how quickly you can adapt to the learning process as being a Blue Man.
And the mythology behind the Blue Man, like, what is the backstory with the Blue Man?
Man, there's a whole series of videos when the show was invented that you could go back and encounter, or I guess harvest from. But basically, it's a mixture of all kinds of archetypes, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's shaman and hero. And so if you balance those two archetypes out, there's this kind of really interesting conglomerate of a character, you know. And then you've got the innocent and the science wizard guru,
right?
So everything balled into one is going to be what you get in the character.
Yeah, somewhere in the center. There's the wheel. You just named four of them. There's another two characters, but basically they show that chart there, and you're supposed to sit directly in the middle.
Yes,
so you can pull from all of those categories. Scientist
and,
or
right, and the main point being without ego. So the character is an egoless character. So anything that you experience has to be without the knowledge that something is right or wrong.
Yeah.
You can, like a child.
Hold on. So you're on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people, hundreds or thousands, and you are wearing this makeup and you're going through your routine and you are expected to have, as you put it earlier, genuine interactions with audience members where you react to what they're doing, not in sort of a pat, they're not triggering your behavior. You're reacting with them, not at them. And you're all supposed to do this through this filter of not having an ego.
Yeah, that's correct.
Or talking.
You know, it's weird because I was thinking, like, I wanted to go into this interview and find out what you have in common with bands like Kiss and Insane Clown Posse, but now I want to figure out what you have in common with, like, the Dalai Lama.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually one of the original Blue Men, Matt Goldman, has worked closely with the Dalai Lama, so that's funny that you bring that up.
How so?
Well, he is involved with, as far as I know, I don't know any of the details here, but I know that he's heavily involved with TED Talks. And so kind of went that direction and had some sort of meeting with the Dalai Lama. This is all actually something I heard. So who knows? This is conjecture at this point. But look, getting back to the way it relates to the show, that's a great way of comparing us to an idea or something. I mean, we can be a rock band, but we can also be a spiritual event or a gathering of sorts. It all comes together in one, really, I think.
See that guy who's working with the Dalai Lama,
I see him all the time. Yeah.
You ever see the Dalai Lama live?
No, I have not.
He sucks live. It's terrible. And for reasons that are controllable, I'm not saying like put him in face paint, but like he could use a little showmanship. Yeah. Yes, he's the 14th incarnation of the living Buddha. That doesn't mean you can just be up there and. Anthony and Brian, I can't believe we went there.
Get with the times.
Come on, Dalai Lama. Sure, you're actually the Buddha, supposedly.
Here's our Buddhist contingency.
Talk to us about the best ponchos money can buy, because you have the poncho section.
Yeah.
You go through a lot of ponchos.
Yeah.
First five rows?
It depends on how far away the seats are from the stage where you start.
But it's about five.
Yeah, usually.
And what brand of ponchos did the Blue Man Group
That's
use?
That's a great question. This is a props question.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're probably not the best ponchos money can buy because they're used at one time, but... Yeah, you know, that we're not like a Gallagher kind of show where we expect to have the audience get sprayed. That's actually, the ponchos are basically just there for your last defense if anything were to come out in the audience. But we're not
saying that it's going to.
Yeah, we try to not ruin anyone's nice shirt or suit if you're going to wear a suit to Blue Man, which is interesting.
I wouldn't do it.
Don't wear a suit to Blue Man Group. I have all these questions. I don't think we're going to get time for them. But as Blue Man Group goes, it's clearly performance art. And I wanted to know how you guys relate the performance art to the recording art, because there are also CDs available.
Right. The show that we do, I don't think the show, like the sit-down shows, which is closely related to the show that we do here on tour, I don't think the music exactly from that show has ever been recorded on CD and sold. There was a Megastar tour that they did that the music, you can buy the CD for. And what's the name of the other one? With
Audio?
Yeah, Audio. You can buy that stuff.
ODDIO. That audio? Like the ODDIO one?
Oh, no.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
the music from this show, you can't really buy anywhere. You can only go see the show and experience it there.
What's the runtime of the show tonight?
Hour and 40?
Yeah.
We go about an hour and 40, yeah.
Intermission?
It depends.
No intermission. It's basically just a uphill escalating roller coaster before the fall.
Yeah.
So we don't want to break that. And so pee beforehand.
Yeah, into the huge disco party at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I got the moves. I don't know if you've seen anybody do the disco merengue, but I got that on lock.
That's a great album. That's a great album.
Isn't
cover.
Isn't this great?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I found this on my desk the other day. Somebody brought it in and left it there. So Blue Man Group, safe for work, safe for kids, all that stuff.
It's definitely for
not
everybody.
Profane.
We want the adults to come more than the kids, I think. I do, personally, because I like to see them turn into a kid for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it's just, I've never seen the show, but it seems to me like just this intense, like, how can we blast all senses all the time until they go? Is that a fair characteristic?
Yeah, I think that is, it's pretty fair. You have a little bit of a break. There's a lot of audience participation. My favorite part of the show is 20 minutes in the middle where we'll pull up a female from the audience and have a meal with her. And it's, that's, you can just really start to tell people noticing how live this show really is. Like, this is a live thing happening in front of them, and it's people kind of open up after that.
I know you get asked this all the time. I'm sorry about this, but like how much the face paint, like how long does that take every night?
Not too long. I could do it. I have done it in like 13 minutes, gotten ready from Brian Taverner to Blue Man. But we give it about 45 minutes, I would say, to get ready.
I watch them. Yeah.
A lot of it is just hanging out and getting ready for the show, getting on the same page for the show, joking around in the dressing room. We have a circle meeting before every Blue Man show. That's been a Blue Man Group tradition. So
what's
every
that?
Show.
What happens in that?
The whole cast and crew get together. We talk about how the audience is sold that night. What kind of things are happening within the company. We have a fun trivia game. We just have a random trivia and we laugh about some stuff. Someone makes fun of someone and then we go back to the dressing room. And so it's just
making fun of each other.
It's a, you know, we promote the community of the internally our community, because the whole point of the show is to spread community. So it's like, if we have it together on our end, we can then go put this show on.
The whole point of the show is to spread community.
I mean, basically to have people understand that they are a part of one. Yeah, that's what I go out and try to do. You can have many goals with this show.
I'm loving everything you're saying, because it seems, first of all, I mean, the mere existence of the Blue Man Group that is going on 23 years, something like that.
Well, in theaters, yeah, because they were around for a couple of years before that.
Right. Yeah.
Chris Matt and Phil walking around.
The idea was developing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I heard they threw all their furniture out of a window. Like on the day one of rehearsals.
Keith Moon did, huh? It's possible.
Keith Moon did, yeah, exactly. But the other question I'm sure you get asked a lot of is, how can I fake being a Blue Man? Like, if I wanted to have game at the bars and I wanted to tell people that I was in Blue Man Group, what's the move that would convince a person? What is something you know that nobody else would know about the Blue Man Group?
Well, you have to be good at catching olives or cherries in your mouth, and then you go from there.
That's true. You guys catch a lot. Seriously, what's the range? How far can you catch something? Like 20 feet?
It could go further. We sometimes run around the theater and see how far we can throw away from each other, but it's pretty far.
What's the biggest, like what's the worst thing to catch in your mouth?
Razor blades.
That's a real thing?
No.
Okay, good. All right, second worst.
I was just playing a game.
The best part to me about, and this is sort of the it's more existential than anything, but like the idea that this sort of art house sort of post-punk performance thing can exist and thrive and make its way onto like cruise ships. Yeah. It's like you have tricked all America about it. Like you're putting these themes of egolessness and communal living, not communal living, but you know, the spirit of community. You're putting all this in a very eccentric, arty form, and people are just eating it up. I think it's awesome. So thank you for doing that.
It's a blast. It's good to see people go from point A to point B over the course of a show, and then come back and do it again. They come back and bring their family.
And all over too. I mean, I get surprised sometimes when these towns that we go to and stuff does not seem like they would be, not in a bad way or a good way, but it just doesn't seem like that would be the town that would really get it, and then you have an amazing audience that are way into the show, and it's like you're. I mean, it's just really interesting to see everybody get it, kind of.
Before we wrap it up, how would you, if people are hearing this and they're on the fence about going tonight, what would you say to push them over the fence?
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. You got to take advantage of it. It's unlike any other show, and we're purposefully bringing the show to towns all over the country that otherwise wouldn't see it or may not get a chance to go to the cities that we have the show in.
Once in a lifetime. You're taking the YOLO road.
Yeah. I will never say that. I will never say that.
Absolutely not.
All right. Me neither. I mean, Anthony and Brian, thank you so much for talking to us. That's super interesting.
Thanks for having us.
And it sounds like your lives are amazing.
It's a good time. Yes. We have a good time.
No doubt. All right. Well, Blue Man Group tonight, Van Duzer Theater. And you can get tickets and information over at khum.com. We'll be right back.